Please be seated. Prayer. In the gospel today, we heard the mother of all prayers, or should I say the father of all prayers, the Lord's Prayer. The one that many people can say in their sleep, and many of them do at sunrise and Winchester House. Or they wake up and say the prayer and go back to sleep. It's lovely. It is the prayer that spews out of our mouth when we are in a difficult situation. It is the prayer people ask for more than any other when they are in the hospital. What makes it so powerful? Well, it was a prayer many of us prayed every Sunday since we could talk, because it was an essential part of the church service. It is important because this was the template Jesus gave the disciples to pray. And as much as I would like to discuss the Lord's Prayer with you today, I really could not do it justice in just a few minutes. So we could make it maybe a Bible study sometime if you'd like. Let me know. But what we are reminded of again today is the importance of prayer. And I mean the importance not only for what and who we are praying for, but for ourselves when we pray. C.S. Lewis was a British writer and a lay theologian. He is best known for his works of fiction, especially the Screwtape Letters and the Chronicles of Narnia, and for his nonfiction Christian apologetics such as Mere Christianity and Miracles. The movie Shadowlands tells Lewis's story, focusing in particular on his relationship with his wife, Joy Gresham. Gresham and Lewis met while Lewis was a don at Oxford University. After Joy is diagnosed with cancer, the couple marry. The movie invites us to witness their love, their pain, their grief, their struggles with faith and God. At one point in the story, your friend says to Lewis, "Christopher can scoff, Jack, but I know how hard you've been praying, and now God is answering your prayers." Lewis answers, "That's not why I pray, Harry. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows up out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me." I have a theory about prayer. I believe our soulful hearts are the basis for our being. It is the part that nourishes us and helps us grow. It is the garden of our life. I believe that every time we are in conversation with our Lord, the soil of our hearts are tilled. Tilling is needed if you're mixing amendments into the soil for growth, such as, in our case, love, praise, compassion. It is also helpful if you have severely compacted soil, also known as hardness of the heart, that needs to be broken up into finer bits for planting God's seeds of kindness and gratitude. This process also removes weeds and undesirable roots from the soil, such as anger and hatred. Tilling turns the soil over, which mixes the seeds of compassion, kindness, gratitude, and producing the base for a garden of love in your heart. And as your heart is tilled to make room for more and more of the Holy Spirit to be present with all we need to do to be what God wants us to be, we actually change. We become a bit more in tune with those around us. You can sense a person's sadness, loneliness. You want to be more of a help in this world. Some of us ladies, after morning prayer Friday, were talking about how the little things don't bother us anymore. We kind of chalked it up to age. Although, I think it's more than that. I think it's because our hearts have no room for the mundane and the ridiculous. They have been weeded out. We realize there are more important things that need our attention, such as feeding the homeless. There are plenty of older people out there with hardness of heart. There is no tilling going on in their heart. These people have a persistent inner refusal to hear and obey God. Also, in a more general sense, an uncaring or unsympathetic attitude towards other people. Thank you, God, that is not us. Just today, in this hour we spend praying and praising God, our hearts are be opened and prepared to go out into the world to hear our Lord. Now, you kind of understand my crazy praying. I mentioned it a little bit before. Besides praying in the morning, before I get out of bed, I say with a good morning, Jesus, and say my prayers. I have set several approaches to add to my prayer life daily, such as in water aerobics when we do the cheerleader move that consists of jumping out of the water and raising your hands, which I hate. But I like it now because I've changed that from cheerleader to praise God, or intercessory prayer, and name people's names up when I jump up and down I don't know how many times. When I listen to the oldies music on the radio, I turn the love songs into songs to Jesus. You make me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life. Oh, thank you, God. And sometimes the songs are from Jesus to me, such as, I love you just the way you are. Just these few activities and my other prayer time enriches my life every day. One of the people at morning prayer mentioned she always wanted to do morning prayer every morning. But the time she spent getting out the books, the Bible, the prayer book, looking up the readings for the day, finding them in the Bible, and then figuring out what prayers she should read took a lot of time. So she investigated, and voila. She now types in dailyoffice.wordpress.com, and there it is. All she has to do is spend time with the Lord. When you are gardening, do you intentionally pray to God about what you're doing or what your life is like? How about hiking or biking? Is your head filled with tasks and problems? Are you tilling your heart talking to our Lord? In May 2001, journalist Brandeth interviewed South African Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu. It was a powerful experience for Brandeth, for Desmond Tutu was suffering from prostate cancer, and there was a real chance this might be his last interview he would ever give. What might Tutu want to talk about? Perhaps the amazing transformation in the politics of his country, and of which he himself had a leading role. No, here's what he told Brandeth. If this is going to be my last interview, I am glad we are not going to talk about politics. Let us talk about prayer and adoration, about faith, hope, and forgiveness. For Tutu, these are the things that are the stuff of life. Prayer is such an important part of our personal life and our life here in the community of believers. We have a lot going on, and we have to do our part by praying that all things work out to the glory of God. We have to keep Reverend Dan, the wardens, the vestry, the search committee, our financial people, and all the people who help with music, hospitality, worship, our building, outreach, study in our prayers, as we are led to make the choices necessary for renunciation to be an integral part of God's love in this world. And as those prayers are going out, they will be tilling our hearts. Win-win. There will be special adult forums and updates. We will change things around a little in our services. Nothing drastic, just things to make our prayerful time together more powerful and meaningful. For example, today, there will be times of silence after some of the prayers of the people for us to add our prayers of concerns and thanksgivings. Prayer. Our conversations with God. It's a game changer. Let me end with one more story. A man's daughter had asked the local pastor to come and pray with her father. When the pastor arrived, he found the man lying in bed with his head propped up on two pillows and an empty chair beside the bed. The priest assumed that the old fella had been informed of his visit. "I guess you were expecting me." "No. Who are you?" "I'm the new associate at your local church," the pastor replied. "When I saw the empty chair, I just figured you knew I was going to show up." "Oh, yeah, the chair," said the bedridden man. "Would you mind closing the door?" Puzzled, pastor shut the door. "I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter," said the man. "But all my life, I have never known how to pray. At church, I used to hear the pastor talk about prayer, but it always went right over my head. I abandoned any attempt at prayer," the old man continued, "until one day, about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, 'Joe, prayer is just a simple matter of having a conversation with Jesus. Here's what I suggest. Sit down on a chair, place an empty chair in front of you, and in faith, see Jesus on the chair. It's not spooky, because he promised he'll be with you always. Then just speak to him and listen in the same way you're doing with me right now.' So I tried it, and I've liked it so much that I do it a couple hours every day. I'm careful, though. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd either have a nervous breakdown or send me off to the funny farm." The pastor was deeply moved by the story and encouraged the old guy to continue on the journey. Then he prayed with him and returned to the church. 2 nights later, the daughter called to tell the pastor that her daddy had died that afternoon. "Did he seem to die in peace?" the pastor asked. "Yes. When I left the house around 2 o'clock, he called me over to his bedside, told me one of his corny jokes, and kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange," she said. "In fact, beyond strange, kind of weird. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he leaned over and rested his head on a chair beside the bed." Amen.